Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And this is a service that's dedicated to the glory of God. We want to glorify God. We want to help sinners come to know the Lord. Those who are unbelievers, those who are lost in sin, want them to come to Jesus. And we want to comfort God's people like God told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. Christian Worship Hour has been now for almost 38 years, and that's been our message all those years. So we just thank you for opening your doors and letting us come in to have a time of worship. Before I get to the message, and by the way, I'm going to be preaching about how Jesus prays for us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Jesus prays for us. But before I get that, I want to share some of the letters we get. We just get so many wonderful letters, and thank you for writing. And here's one from Alaska, Eagle River, Alaska. And this person writes, thank you for all your efforts, seen and unseen, to produce the Gospel Worship Hour. Thank you for asking for financial support in today's program and allowing the opportunity to have a tiny part in the sowing. Thank you for your response and sharing in detail what sheep are really like and making the comparison to our behaviors and abilities. And the heart and role and work of the shepherd, the good shepherd, really put things in proper perspective and brought me to a hearty chuckle. Yes, I see exactly like a sheep I am too. All encouragements to you, Pastor Salem, and your helpers. And we talked about sheep and how they go astray. Everything will come home, but a sheep won't come home. And God says through Isaiah, all we like sheep, not like dogs or not like not like cows or cats or dogs or anything else. All we like sheep gone astray, and the Lord comes to get us and to search for us. And today he'll be talking to some of you that you've been straying away. He'll be talking to you. The good shepherd will be talking to you by the Holy Spirit, asking you to come back home. Here's a letter from Overland Park, Kansas. Thanks for the suicide information, because my dad was a Christian and committed suicide. I'll see him in heaven. Thank you, Pastor. And he's talking about a little booklet that we have, a 10-page booklet on entitled, Can a Christian Who Commits Suicide Go to Heaven? And the answer is yes, indeed. And it's all scripture. We have a 10-page booklet of scripture. And if you want a copy, you can write to us, and I'll put it on the screen. And you write to us, and we'll send it. You can send up a donation if you can. We have people, though, on Social Security, can't pay anything. We have people in prison, can't pay anything. And so you can maybe, somebody will make up for it. But you write to us, and we'll be glad to send it to you. And then here's a letter we got from Rapid City, South Dakota. And this is from a nurse. She writes, I started watching your program when I was working night shifts and I couldn't get to church. I never stopped. Thanks for this great ministry. I told my friend in prison to watch. My whole family sometimes comes over to watch church with me on TV. We still go to church too in the physical building. But I love the music, and I'm thankful for your service and look forward to it every week. Sometimes I watch it on the internet if I miss it when it's on TV. Have a blessed day. And so here's someone that's telling others about it, and we're tuning us in and worshiping with us. And we're always so happy to do that. And especially we have people who are shut-ins and they can't get out. And and especially in the winter months. And so we can be their worship service. And you know what we do is when we have this service, we all gather around the throne of God, and we worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ and worship God the Father. And all over the world, this program goes all over the world. And so we're all drawn together around the throne of grace into one group. And someday we're going to all be in heaven. All who love the Lord are going to be in heaven. And won't we have a great time then? Here is a letter from, we have to read this, Kenora, Ontario, Canada. And it says, Dear Pastor Salem, I'm Alyssa. I'm 7 years old. My dad has a bad cough. We hope he can get over it. We love your sermons, and we thank your staff and you with lots of love. Here's a little girl, 7 years old. And I'm the way I preach, children can understand. I don't know any big words, and I don't know how to give them all these little fancy sentences and get all tied up in knots. So even the pastor, I wonder sometimes if he knows where he's at. And so we just have the plain, simple gospel, and we preach the Bible so children can understand, and God bless the children. And so let's all pray for Alyssa's dad, that he'll get well. Wouldn't that be something, all over the world, praying for her dad? And then one more, Linville, Iowa. Yes, we are just waiting for transportation right now, knowing God's rapture will be soon. Keep on keeping on. And I put that in because I think that is so neat, where this person says, we're waiting for transportation. We're ready to go to heaven. We're waiting for the transportation. Maybe it'll be the rapture, and maybe God will just come and take us, well, however it is. But eventually, we're all going to be together with the Lord in heaven. So I hope that you'll write. I'm going to put the address on the screen, and I hope that you'll write us a letter. Maybe we'll read your letter. And then when we know what you're talking about and thinking about, we know what to preach about and answer questions for people. So we just love to hear from you, and God bless you. Now today we're going to be thinking about this 17th chapter of St. John's Gospel. And in this chapter, it is what called, it's the prayer of Jesus, where Jesus prays to the Father in heaven. And he has his disciples gathered around him, just a small group of believers, and he talks to God and his Father in heaven. And it's a beautiful, beautiful prayer. And we're going to see how that we just feel like we come on holy ground, or just like when Moses at the burning bush, he says, take off your shoes, you're on sacred ground, you're on holy ground. And so when we come to this prayer, it's such a beautiful prayer. G. Campbell Morgan commented on this prayer, and he says, now we are permitted to come into his presence as under the very shadow of the cross. He held communion with his Father. And Philip Melanchthon, one of the church fathers, he was a contemporary of Martin Luther. And Melanchthon wrote, there is no voice which has ever been heard, either in heaven or in earth, more exalted, more holy, more faithful, more fruitful, more sublime than the prayer offered up by the Son of God to himself. And so the Son of God talks to the Father, and we are on holy ground. Warren Wiersbe makes a comment. He says, it's the greatest prayer ever prayed on earth, and the greatest prayer recorded anywhere in Scripture. John chapter 17 is certainly the holy of holies of the gospel record, and we must approach this chapter in a spirit of humility and worship. To think that we're privileged to listen to in on God, and the Son converses with his Father just as he's about to give his life up as a ransom for sinners. And so he talks and he's praying now because he's on the way to the cross. Won't be long now. Jesus is going to be crucified. So he talks to the Father in heaven, and he speaks audibly. And I think he did that so his disciples could just see the wonderful communion between the Father and the Son, and they could see what he was talking about and what he was thinking about. And so the Lord Jesus prays. It's the longest recorded prayer in the Bible, and he prays. And so then he prays, first of all, he prays for himself, and then he prays for the disciples, and that's what we're looking at today. So first of all, Jesus prays for himself in John 17. If you have your Bibles, you can just open it up and have it there because we're going to be referring to that chapter 17. And he says in the first verse, these words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Notice what he says, the hour is come. Remember when Jesus started his ministry and he performed that miracle at the wedding at Cana of Galilee? And he said at that time, mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come. Well, now he's praying and he's in the shadow of the cross. He's going to be crucified in just a short time. And he says, the hour is come. And that's what Jesus talked about all of his ministry, 3.5 years ministry. He talked about his hour, his time to come. And so when he prays now, this is his hour. This is the hour that he came for. This is why he was born of the virgin and grew to manhood and came and dwelt among us in our flesh, except without sin. He did it so he could go to the cross, pay for our sins. God bless Jesus. Don't we owe him a lot? We'll just really have to thank him, won't we? Because he saved us from hell. That's where you're going to be if you don't have Jesus. You're going to be in hell just sure as you're breathing today. That's the only one, the only choice, heaven or hell. It's your choice. I'll take Jesus and I'll take heaven every time. And so he prays for himself. Now, it's not wrong to pray for ourselves. I think you're plumb dumb if you don't pray for yourself. But watch out what you're praying for. Praying that we'll be in God's will. Praying that we know what Jesus wants us to do and say. Praying that what God wants us to say, for instance, to give to the program or whatever it is, or to pray for it or tell others. We just pray, you know, pray for the biggest house in town. Pray for a big old car. When I was young, oh boy, did I want a big shiny car. I'm 94 years old and I could care less whether the car shines, just so it'll get me back home. That's all I care. But you see, we have to be sure we pray according to the will of God. And we always pray in every one of our prayer. And he says, always says, the Lord's will be done. God's will be done. Now, Jesus prays for two things. In the first verse, he says, glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. In other words, he's asking God would glorify him so that he could bring glory to the Father. He isn't asking for glory for himself, but so that he can use it in honoring God and serving God. And so we can pray and ask God to help us see. And we'll just know that we're trusting the Lord and say, dear God, use me and help me so I can bring glory to your name. I want to honor you. I want to serve you. And that's exactly what we should do. We pray that we can do our best. We pray that we'll always do a good job. We pray that we'll be faithful. We pray that we'll be used of God. We pray that God will be honored in us. That's what we're praying. We're praying for ourselves that the glory might go to God, like Corrie ten Boom. And she got a lot of compliments. And she says, I take the compliments like I would a bouquet of flowers. And I take them in my hand, and then I hand them to the Father in heaven, say, this is for you. And see, we want the compliments so we can give them to God. We want to succeed so that we can honor God and promote his glory. That's his first part of his prayer. And then he prayed secondly in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He's talking about the glory he had with the Father before it came to this earth. Before he was born of the Virgin Mary, he was in the bosom of the Father from time eternity. There never was a time that God wasn't there as a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Son is in the Father's bosom from time there's before. In eternity, there never was a time that he wasn't there. You see, I don't understand that. Of course you don't. We don't have the mind and the intelligence of God. Someday maybe we'll understand it when we're in glory. Well, you won't understand it now because he's infinite when we're finite. We're on the earth level and he's far above us as the sky is above us. God is above us in his intelligence and love and wisdom and knowledge and power. And in every way, oh God, what a wonderful God he is. And so Jesus is willing to go to the cross and die on the cross and do the Father's will. And he says, I give up my glory so I can go to that cross. And you know, there are some Bible scholars who say that when Jesus ascended into heaven after his death and then his resurrection, then he was there 40 days and he appeared before a multitude of people and other times. And then he ascended into heaven and he was received by a cloud. And some of the Bible scholars say that cloud was the glory that he had in heaven, and he set it aside when he came down to this earth. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. He loved us, and he helped us, and he did us so much and helped us in every way. So he prays for himself. And then he prays for us. He prays for his disciples, for you and for me. He says, first of all, in verse 6, I have manifested thy name to them. That is, I revealed much of God to them. They knew more about God himself now than they had ever dreamed. They didn't understand many things, and Jesus explained about who God the Father was and told of the glory of God and the goodness of God. And while they didn't know everything about God, they knew some things. They knew that Jesus was God for one thing. They knew that Jesus was the Word of God for another thing. They knew that in Jesus they saw the Father because the Father was in the Son reconciling the world to himself. Oh, they learned so many things. Jesus prayed three prayers, three things for his disciples. And when he did that, he was praying for you and he was praying for me. Because when he was on that cross, he saw your face and he saw my face. And when he's praying now, he's praying for me. He's praying for you, just as he prayed for his disciples. He prayed three things. He says he prayed, first of all, that God would keep the disciples in them in thy name. Keep them in thy name. And then he says, keep them from evil. And then the third thing, sanctify them, thy name there, that thy will might be done. So when we look at this, when we talk about Jesus, keep them in my name, it just seems, he says, he's wanting us to stay close to Jesus, stay close to the Father in heaven. And as we draw close to Jesus, we draw close to the Father because Jesus says, I and the Father are one. And so it's an interesting statement, for instance, in the 9th verse, and it says here, I pray not for the world. So he says, I'm praying for my own disciples, but I don't pray for the world. And that doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? But it's just as plain as day. He says, I'd pray not for the world. And what he's saying is, I'm praying for you as my disciples, that you'll follow Jesus and you'll walk with him and serve him. And I'm praying for you so that you can live in such a way that the people in the world will see the gospel. And so he says, I'm praying for you that you'll be lights in the world. I'm praying for the disciples that will be salt and that we'll be shining lights for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, you need to be all united together and you need to stand together. He says in the carrying on, and then he says, keep them in thy name that they may be one as we are one. Unity of spirit, unity of purpose. That doesn't mean we all have to go to the same church. Have your own church. Have your own gospel the way you do it and preach it. But we have to have the same spirit, the same purpose. We have the same thing in mind, that we bring people to Jesus Christ and that we honor God the Father and honor his word. And so it doesn't matter what church or group you're in. And maybe you just have a little Bible study. Maybe there isn't a church in your little town or your community and you have a Bible study group where two or three are gathered together in my name. There I'm in the midst of them. And so you draw nigh to God and he wants us to be united and working together. Their business then is in the word, but then he goes on and says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. I pray that God, I'm praying the Father, don't take them out of the world. I want them in the world, see? That is, he's not calling us to get into some monastery and hide ourselves. He's not calling us to be isolated. He's calling us to go out into the world and shine for Jesus and honor Jesus. Have you ever thought about this? God could have used angels to do the same thing, and they wouldn't have to eat. And you wouldn't have to have health insurance for them. And they were just beautiful. And all in the mess, angels are messengers of God. And in the Old Testament, what do we have them? We have them in the New Testament when they come to Mary and they come to Joseph. And you see the angels all the time. Why can't the angels do it? You know why the angels can't do it? Because they never sinned. They don't know what it's like to have redemption. They don't know what it's like to have God forgive them of their sins. Only those of us who are sinners, and we're all sinners. Angels never sinned. Some of the angels sinned, and they were cast out of heaven and became demons. That's where Satan gets his help. But these angels are true to God. They never sinned, and they can't even tell what it's like to be saved because they never sinned, never were saved from sin. And so God says, I want my people to do that. I want you to do it. I want Harold to do it. I want us to wear, and you know, we hear from prisoners, and oh, you can shine for Jesus in the prison. What better place is there to shine for the Lord Jesus? And then Jesus goes on and he says, I pray that thou should keep them from the evil one. And how do you keep them from the evil one? He says, sanctify them. Now, when we talk about sanctify, we think about, oh, he means we got to be spotless. We got to be perfect. We got to have a halo over our head to be sanctified. Oh, we got to be a holy Joe. Oh, we got to be a little goody two shoes. And oh, we just got to be perfect. No, that isn't what sanctify means at all. Sanctify in the Bible means set apart, set apart. And you can do that with furniture. For instance, in the tabernacle in the wilderness, the furniture was sanctified. And that is, it was set apart for the service of God. And then when he says, I would like them to be sanctified, he is saying, well, I want you to be sanctified in that I want you to be a set aside for me. And I wanted you to go out into the world. And you're going to find in the world, you're going to find some tough times. You're going to find troubles and trials because the world is lost and the world is going to hell and the world doesn't want God and the world is anti-Christ and the world is anti-God and they're so against God. And Jesus said, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. And oh, some of the sheep have died, haven't they? But they've been true to Jesus, shine for Jesus. That's what we have to do. And so how can we be set apart? How can we be sanctified? And he tells us the answer to that too, through the truth. What is the truth? That Bible, the Holy Word of God. And he's telling us, read that Bible if you want to be separated in a wicked world and you want to be spotless from the sins of the world and to live with the Lord, and none of us will be perfect ever, ever. But he says, if you want to do that, read the Bible, study the Bible, go where the Bible's preached, memorize the scriptures in the Bible, saturate yourself with the Bible, talk about the Bible to other people. That's why the cults prosper. The Christians don't know enough about the Bible and they believe anything. And so God is telling us, you need to come to me and I'll take away all of your sins. And then you need to give yourself sanctified. Set yourself apart for God. Say that in your heart and soul, I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus. I'm going to follow him. And the cults, they succeed because the Christians are those who know the Lord. They don't read the Bible. And they don't know what is right and they don't know what's wrong. They don't know up from down. And so Jesus said, sanctify them, separate them by the truth, by the Bible, by the Word of God. And that's why you ought to go to church if you possibly can. And I know some of you shut-ins. And we pray for you, and we never have a service, but we pray for those of you that can't get out. And I know here we are in the middle of winter, and there's blizzards and everything else, and ice, oh, don't you hate ice? I'm 94, and ice scares me to death. There's point a gun at me, I wouldn't be as scared as I am of ice. I can't get near it with my walker. And so we think about all of you can't get out and you can't get around. We always pray for you. And you know God is with you and God loves you. And you're separated too. You're salt and you're light. Shine for Jesus where you are. And pray for God's work. And pray for the Christian worship hour. Because we have to have God in. We've got to have help. And so God says, learn the word, keep the truth, and you'll be sanctified. And in that wonderful thing, when you know the Lord and you trust the Lord, you'll know that you have always Jesus with you. And he'll never take us any place but what he's with us to guide and to help us. And he'll give us strength and nearness. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Or Arthur A. Luther, he put it like this. Earthly friends may prove untrue. Doubts and fears assail. One still loves and cares for you, one who will not fail. Though the sky be dark and drear, fierce and strong the gale, just remember he is not near, he will not fail. In life's dark and bitter hour, love will still prevail. Trust his everlasting power, Jesus will not fail. And then the chorus goes, Jesus never fails, Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, Jesus never fails. And as a hymn writer put it, the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That faith of all that should ever, all the world should leave you, I'll never, no, never, nor never forsake you. He'll always be with us. And so take heart and rest in the Lord. So remember this, Jesus prays for us. He's in heaven praying for you, interceding at the right hand of God right now. And one thing he's praying is, he's praying that if you haven't accepted Jesus, that you'll open your heart to Jesus and say, "Dear Jesus, please come, I've sinned against you. Please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll live for you the best I can, and I'll turn from the evil ways, and I'll live for you. And then I thank you, Jesus. Then thank him for saving your soul. And you're a child of God. You've been born again. If you really meant it, ask Jesus to come. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And if you did that, you write to us and we'll send you some literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57403. And we're going to pray for you now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to pray for your people. We pray for those who are outside of Christ, that they'll come to know Jesus and receive him into their heart and life. And then we pray, Lord, for those who are Christians, those of us who want to serve you and follow you, give us the strength and give us the total dedication. Help us to be sanctified, set apart just for you and for your service. And may all we do and say be like Jesus, to bring glory to the Father, glory to God. And he's always glorified when he finds an obedient Christian people, obedient children, loving him and serving him. So you pray for us, and we pray for each other, and we pray to you, God, that you'll help us and guide us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope that you'll pray for us. I hope you'll write to us. We need your help. We have got our number on the screen there. You can get that down. And everything you give will go directly. We're underwritten by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. You don't need to worry about your gift. It'll go where we say it'll go. And it'll go to the glory of God. So we pray God to bless you and watch over you. And Lord willing, we'll be back next week at this same time. In the meantime, pray for us. Tell your friends. Let's get together. We'll have a wonderful, wonderful time as we look at the vine and the branches. We're going to look at that next week. So God bless you and take care of you. And may the grace of God be upon every one of you. In Jesus' holy name, we pray it all. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.